Look, keep in mind, people wrestle with things. You know, none of us comes into anything with a fully formed, I mean, they wrestle with things. And anything that helps them solve a problem or get started in solving a question, in the, you know, answering a question in their mind, or gives them a way to look at something that eventually leads to some answers, is just absolutely like scarfed up as quickly as they can find it.
I'm Steven Spears, and this is
The Future.
The Future. The Future of Customer Engagement
and Experience
Podcast. Welcome to the launch of The Future of Customer Engagement and Experience Podcast, a new way to help you on your journey to becoming a more customer-focused business or just professional. After years of working in radio, both on-air taking your phone calls and behind the scenes helping run the business, I'm really excited to be bringing you this podcast in partnership with thefutureofcommerce.com and all of the amazing content they provide. The fact is, there's conversations happening every single day, from conference rooms on the 64th floor to video meetings where the same three people keep talking over each other about how to put customers at the center of the business, and we want to bring those conversations to you. We'll be taking some of the best topics from the Future of Customer Engagement site and then expanding on them with industry experts, as well as also bringing new thoughts and trends to light in a way that sounds more like a Netflix documentary and less like a dissertation of a business thesis. Let's back up for a second, though. Why is the topic of customer engagement and experience so important to us and deserving of a full site and podcast? It's because customers today aren't just buying products and services. They're buying the experience, and they're willing to pay more for a great experience. We shop at the grocery store that's cleaner, the people are nicer, and you're guaranteed 4 free samples per trip. We always eat at the same Italian restaurant that gave you free dessert on your birthday. And we stick with our insurance agent even when the rates go up, because we know they'll pick up the phone at any hour if I pull too far into the garage and knock down a wall. So how do companies acknowledge this and then act on it? That's the tough part, and that's where we're here to help. For this first episode, though, I thought it'd be the most beneficial if we took some time to discuss why thought leadership is so important in customer experience. As organizations continue to work towards placing customers at the center of the action, as well as providing world-class experiences that leave them telling everyone who will listen, doing this effectively can seem like a tall task, so naturally, they look for where to start. That's where accurate and insightful thought leadership becomes so important. I'm excited to have a pretty knowledgeable guy in the area helping me shed light on this, Paul Greenberg. Paul's the managing principal of the 56 Group, LLC.
Number one, there's 55 less employees than the name implies. It's just me.
But he's probably much more well-known as the author of CRM at the Speed of Light.
It's called the Bible of CRM, though I am utterly convinced the reason for that is it weighs pretty much the same amount in hardcover, which is 3 pounds. In fact, my friend Brent Leary and I, who do a show called CRM Players, did a CRM Players episode on alternate uses of the book. And we showed you could do curls with the book. You could do step aerobics off the book, and you could use it as a substitute for brick and mortar. I'm also the author of another book called The Commonwealth of Self-Interest, Business Success Through Customer Engagement, which is brand new.
And well, if any of those didn't ring a bell, you may have just heard of him by the title of The Godfather of CRM.
Actually, I think, given that I'm turning 70 in a couple of weeks, is a misinterpretation, and that really whoever said that really said the grandfather of CRM and was completely misheard.
Now, Paul was working in the world of ERP when he was first introduced into the world of customer relationship technology.
So I started looking around, and again, this is the 90s still, later 90s, but I started looking around and I found this thing that looked really interesting to me, which was, it was called at the time, oddly enough, XRP, meaning it was an extension of ERP. But this was the business I really liked. And why? Because it involved how humans interact, but as a science of business, right? How to identify how humans are interacting, what to do about them, etc. But I didn't know much about it beyond what I just said. So I began digging in, and look, I have degrees from Northwestern in English and journalism. So I'm a writer, you know, more than anything else. And I knew I had writing skills. So I figured, you know what? To figure this out, let me write a book on it. That's how I'll learn it. And the first edition of CRM Speed of Light was me learning CRM.
But what began as a focus on CRM thought leadership really turned into a customer experience expertise due to the fact that companies began to realize they needed to account for some new things. Things like
behavior, how humans think, how they act, how they interact, how they engage, you know, how they feel about things over a period of time. And the idea when it came to thought leadership was giving them a way to understand all that, right? Because look, if I'm a company and I know my job is to impact customers in a way that over time they like my company, then I have to provide the customers with things that matter to those customers, right? And same time not go broke in the bargain. I'm a company. I don't know how to do that right necessarily. Very rarely did a company, you know, organically do that. So what do? You go out in the world and you look for stuff. And what do you find? Right? You find that, here's this book that breaks it down for us on how to do that. Here are best practices. Here are programs. Here are ideas. Here are thoughts. Here are some stuff from other people who are influential and knowledgeable about the subject. You know, because most people want some form of verification that it's already been done. You have to have the case studies, the best practices, the proof, the experience yourself, whatever, to show that, yeah, this is a valid idea and it's worked. Now, I take all of that as a person who's trying to get an answer to something, and I kind of mash it up and I look at it and I chew on it and I go, that tastes terrible. I like that. Yeah, a little too sweet. I need something a little more, you know, pot still. But ultimately, you come out with what you need, hopefully, to do what it is you have to do to make that customer feel good about his relationship to that company.
Which begs the question, what is good thought leadership?
When somebody is doing thought leadership well, meaning presenting the ideas well, it engenders trust, right? You become a trusted advisor, whether the person knows you or not, because they're trusting your ideas. I publicly said more than once that your thought leadership site, the CX site, is the best I've seen from the vendor side in the industry. It has something which is good, which is a great look and feel, you know, but the key is not that look and feel, it's the content. Why? Read your own, I'm sure you do, but you'll see the content doesn't say, SAP has this technology to do this. It talks about ideas and the ideas are valid. And you know what? It's willing to go outside of SAP altogether in order to make the points it's got to make. But people can trust the content. That's the point of all of this. You can trust the ideas. You can trust the content.
The 2019 Edelman LinkedIn Thought Leadership Impact Study found that close to 70% of decision makers decide if an organization can actually deliver based on their thought leadership. So safe to say there's an appetite for it.
No, huge. Look, keep in mind, people wrestle with things. You know, none of us comes into anything with a fully formed, I mean, just a human being is not even thought, doesn't want to be a thought leader, just trying to figure out how to live their life. They wrestle with things, and anything that helps them solve a problem or get started in solving a question in the, you know, answering a question in their mind, or gives them a way to look at something that eventually leads to some answers, is just absolutely like scarfed up as quickly as they can find it.
Paul's seen this appetite firsthand. He was at a company's conference in Indonesia where he was kind of like a rock star. People flying in to see him just based on his published contributions to the subject.
They've flown in all over Indonesia just to hear you speak. I said, Indonesia? I said, it's the first time I've even been there. So anyway, I started talking to the audience to find out what the heck this was. And I said, why are you here? And they said, you. I said, how do you even know me? I said, I read your book. I read it cover to cover and we use the ideas of my company. And I found out that I have a literal fan base, and I had people walking up to me saying that in Indonesia, which is, you know, wonderful for the ego, makes me really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, and they probably built, you know, most of their buildings there with the book as well. You know,
well,
this is multi-use.
They were all very, I did notice they were all very fit. I mean, step aerobics and curls can do that.
So if we get down to it, who's taking these insights and ideas on how to be a customer experience focused company and actually acting on them? a telecommunications company in Sri Lanka, seems to be hitting it out of the park.
The thing they've understood better than any other company on the planet, possibly, and certainly better than any telco, is that they are part of the life of Sri Lanka. They are not just purveyors of services related to phones. They believe greatly in the idea of service from the heart, which is where CX comes in, right? I mean, for one of my favorite examples of how that even works is that they were doing their daily customer engagement and customer experience research, and they do it every single day. And they found in the course of one of the surveys that they had an enormous number of pregnant women on their network. So they said, oh, that's an interesting segment popping up here. Let's look into that. So they dug in and they found out that the biggest difficulty that the pregnant women felt they had with their life is that while they were pregnant, they had a number of just basic questions they needed answered, but they had to go, they literally had to go to their doctors in order to get the question answered, which is problematic for two reasons. One, they're pregnant. It's hard to travel. Two, roads in Sri Lanka suck, right? So they created a short code service. This is one of those services where you text the number on your cell phone and then something comes back. And then what would happen is you text the number and then what will come back is a schedule of Dr. So-and-so, because they put a large number of doctors on call. Dr. So-and-so is available Monday through Wednesday from this time and this time to this time and this time. When would you like to speak with them? And then you text back your time. And then that time, the doctor would call you and answer all your questions. And it was a huge success for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. It didn't solve a business problem. It solved a life problem. And it was something that the customers loved for them. And they went out. That's how they think. They think about service from the heart.
On the other hand, you can be customer-centric, but you just won't get the same result.
I'll show you what I mean. In 2013, Europe's largest airline now, had two profit warnings the same year. And the board of directors was freaked out. And they said to the chairman, the CEO rather, fix it now. So he implemented a program whose name is escaping me, but it basically is a program that did things like when you made a reservation, and you confirmed your reservation and you changed your mind, you had 24 hours to do it without cost. In the past, once you did that, you didn't have 10 seconds. They charged you if you changed your reservation. Mm-hmm. Said, I clicked on the wrong button. They said, I don't care, you're charged. Wow. They added things like bringing two pieces of luggage onto the plane, one under the seat and one above. Allowing you to bring your mobile devices onto the plane. They didn't even allow that. This new program was arguably a customer-centric program. Mm-hmm. They were doing things that made the customer's life easier, right? And you know what? It did solve the problem. The profit warnings ended. They were profitable the next year. But here's where the difference lies. The Sri Lankan company made a point of saying, we're part of your life, and proved it with everything they ever did. Every program they ever had, every service they ever provided, every person that was ever hired, every action they ever took, proved that. Very strategic. Ultimately, it said to the customer, we are here to provide mutual value. What I just told you was entirely tactical. So imagine this. The board says, that program's costing us too much. We're going to get a profit warning if we don't get rid of it. They get rid of it. They wouldn't think twice. He's doing something to please the board, not to provide mutual values to customers. You have to view engagement and experience strategically and customer centrism strategically, not tactically, because tactically you are always one way or the other trying to provide mutual value. So if you're not doing that, even though you call your effort that, then when it boils down to it, you're doing a disservice to people if you're not making that distinction.
Thanks for joining me, Paul. You had a lot of great insight and I really enjoyed having you.
Well, sir, you have like the perfect Southern accent of Southern charm. But you're a tremendous host.
Much appreciated, Paul. That's Paul Greenberg, Managing Principal of the 56 Group and author of CRM at the Speed of Light. Be sure to connect with him on LinkedIn to find all of his great content and reach out if you've got some more questions for him. Well, that's it. Thanks for joining me on this first episode. For more information on this topic, be sure to head over to thefutureofcommerce.com, where you can find a wealth of great content to explore. And Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you can receive updates as new episodes are released. I'm Stephen Spears, and this is the Future of Customer Engagement and Experience podcast. See you next time.